Hey everybody, Mike Lejeune here with Game Changers for Government Contractors, and today we are going to be talking about a good topic. We're going to be talking about transitioning from being a subcontractor to becoming a prime contractor. Before I do that, I want to just give you a quick intro. If you are new to our podcast, number one, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We focus on helping government contractors get to that next level, whether it is a brand new government contractor who is trying to figure out the landscape of government contracting and how to sell to this market, or maybe you've been in the market for several years and you're kind of stuck or plateaued and you're trying to get to that next level, we can kind of help you through that. So you can reach out to us. You can go to rsmfederal.com or federalaccess.com. You can check out all of our information and resources there. So let me hop in and talk really quickly today about transitioning from being a subcontractor to a prime. And I'll set the landscape here. One of the reasons I want to talk about this is most people, when they get in this market, they start out by being a subcontractor and they grow into being a prime. If you skip that step and you just try to be a prime contractor, which I'll define a prime contractor here real quick, being a prime contractor means you are the one who has been awarded the contract. Subs are the people who work for prime contractors, you know, completing the work. So if you try to skip the step of being a sub and just go straight to prime, you're going to find a lot of obstacles in your way. One, you're going to find a situation where you're not going to have past performance. The government often always has past performance requirements, either at the agency, the size, the scope of the contract. There's all kinds of different types of past performance that you'll see out there. And the government just wants to know that you can do the job. And they want to know that you've done the job for the government, not just for the commercial market. So past performance is usually an obstacle. There's all kinds of other things that are obstacles, from finances to employees and all kinds of different issues. And so making the leap from sub to prime is difficult, but I'm going to walk you through a way to make it much easier. But it's way more difficult to just try and skip being a sub and go straight into being a prime. That's why we say, let's start as a sub, move into a prime. So one of the things that will help you make the move from sub to prime is focusing on your finances, making sure you have plenty of cash on hand, making sure you understand what your cash projections are, your cash flow is, and something that we call being bankable. I did a podcast with Edward Spenceley over at Bank of America. He's the vice president of all things government contracting at Bank of America. And one of the things he harps on all the time is being bankable. You've got to be in a situation where when a bank looks at your finances, they want to do business with you. And if you're not bankable, meaning you have cash coming in, you have some sort of contracts, you have cash in the bank, you're growing consistently. If you're not in that situation, you're likely not bankable. The government or the bank doesn't want to give you a loan. The government doesn't either, but the bank doesn't want to give you a loan. It's not going to be backed by the bank, which means, you know, it's much harder to do business. So as you're growing and you want to transition, you need to have significant amount of cash on hand to run the business, which means a certain X factor of your monthly operating expenses. I recommend somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 9, maybe even 12 months of operating cash. And that's wildly different depending on the size of your company. But having that much cash on hand, understanding what your cash projections are. So if a bank says, hey, what are your cash projections? What is your cash flow going to look like? Can you give me a P&L balance sheet, that kind of stuff? If they ask for those kind of things, you don't give them a deer in the headlights look. Because that's the worst thing in the world, is for the bank to say, hey, I need some stuff from you. And you don't even know what that means. Like, what's a P&L? What's a balance sheet? What are those things? If those are responses you give the bank, you are not bankable. That's I'll tell you that right out of the gate. So you need to be able to understand that and how to get those things to the bank. But cash on hand, one of the biggest things, making sure you've got a good credit score. That's really important. Those things will help you transition from being a sub to a prime, because as a prime, the government wants to know you can handle your finances. You've got the cash flow to onboard people or buy products or supplies or whatever it may be. The government wants to know that you can handle things financially. The health of your business financially is really, really big. The second one here is people. I always recommend when you start your company, one of the first things you should start is a recruiting database. You should start recruiting people knowing that you may not hire for 6 to 12 months, but you need to be meeting people and putting them in a database, even if they don't know they're going in the database, and they are people that you want to hire at some point to fulfill a role in your business. Because one of the hardest things for a small company is hiring, is recruiting. And if you can't do that, it's very hard to transition. It's very hard to onboard people. So in your people side of things, you need to have a recruiting database. You need to have a solid hiring process. You need to have onboard training. Because when you bring somebody on board, you don't want them just doing on-the-job training. On-the-job training is good, but you want to have a process for their first 90 days in business, you know, so that when they come in, they're not just spending 2 or 3 weeks figuring out HR and how to log into their laptop and the CRM and all that garbage. You don't want that. You want them to hit the ground running, having metrics in place, understanding the skills they need to develop, understanding the areas of the business they need to train on. You need to have that mapped out. It doesn't have to be super intense or crazy, but you need a process to bring those people on board. And you need to be able to recruit quickly when you are ramping up internally and you need resources internally, and ramping up sort of externally at the client site. So if you're putting clients on or if you're putting employees on contract, you need to be able to ramp that up very quickly. And that's why you build a recruiting database. The third thing is culture. You need to understand what the culture of your company is. What are your values? What are your standards? Where's the company vision? Where are you headed? Everybody that wants to join a company will ask questions about the stability of the company and where it's going. I remember when I was running a very small software company back in, it's like 02, 03, I had recruited a handful of people, and one of the people that I wanted to hire just wasn't comfortable with a startup, because basically we were in startup mode. We were only a couple of $1 million in revenue, and she just couldn't make the jump. Even though she was going to be making way more money at this new company, she couldn't make the leap because she didn't understand where the company was going. She didn't understand, you know, our values very well. I wasn't in charge of that stuff, but I was in charge of communicating it, and we didn't have it, honestly. And so that hindered us being able to recruit the company culture and all those types of things. And the last one that I want to touch on this is the standards. You've got to have very clear standards for your people, or else it'll just be complete chaos. You'll have people who aren't doing a good job, people who are doing way too much work and doing a really good job. And you will have work going out that looks very different all the time. So you've got to have standards as part of your culture that everybody adheres to. So finances, people, and culture were the first three. The next one on my list is processes. You need a process for everything. And this will help you graduate very quickly from being a sub to a prime. And it'll help you just be more efficient with everything you do in general. When you have a process for everything, when you have a process for how you recruit, how you train, how you onboard, how you manage your finances, how you run payroll, how you do software development, how you do janitorial service, how you clean a building. When you have a process for everything, it makes it much easier to train everybody, and it allows you to even do some cross training and things like that. So processes for everything are really, really important if you're going to make the leap from sub to prime. The next thing on my list is relationships. Relationships are everything in a business. I was doing a webinar earlier today and somebody said, man, I was read in your book that you went from one to about $11 million in 18 months. That's bonkers, man. How did you do it? And the answer was relationships. Before I wound up on the sales team, I spent roughly 2 years on our call center, listening to the problems from every client that we had. So what did I get? I got information on everything they hated about our product, everything they loved about our product, and I got to know every single one of them very intimately. I knew our customers by first name. I often knew family members, kids' names, things they wanted to do in life. I knew so much about them that when I transitioned into sales, I was able to shatter the sales records because I'd built those relationships. If you want to grow quickly, if you want to transition from sub to prime, you need relationships. You need relationships with your clients, small business representatives, teaming partners, program managers, other decision makers at agencies. You need relationships with those people, and they can't just be an inch deep. They need to be a mile deep, right? You've got to dig all the time in these relationships to get to know these people, what makes them tick, what's going on at their agency, how you can help them, how you can make your product or service better for them, how you can serve them better. And if you do that, you will develop really, really strong relationships. One of the places that people discount building relationships is at conferences. So even if you're looking at a conference and saying, well, there's no new customers there, if your old customers are going to be there, it's often worth going, even if you're just kind of walking around, stopping by their booths, talking to them for a little bit, having some drinks at the end of the day. Building relationships goes really well when it's face-to-face, when you're in person. There's something that there's an element there that you can add that you just can't get from over the phone and Zoom and all that kind of stuff. So when you get the chance, go see them in person whenever you can. The next one here is being intentional and deliberate. So if you are trying to shift from sub to prime, one of the things you are going to shift is your pipeline percentages. When you first start off, 30% of your opportunities in your pipeline should be sub, 70% should be prime. But as you're trying to make the shift, you've got to start switching that percentage so it's the exact opposite, where 70% in your pipeline are opportunities where you're going to prime and 30% are going to sub. You still want to sub because you still want to build those relationships with your subs, grow that so you can do more contracts faster. You can get help on RFPs and all that kind of stuff. But you've got to be intentional and deliberate about saying, okay, we've been focusing on things that are under simplified acquisition. Now we've got to make the next leap. We need to start focusing on priming opportunities that are above the simplified acquisition threshold, that are above $500,000, that are above $1 million, that are above $2 million. You've got to make that intentional shift in your pipeline. You got to make the shift in your mentality that, hey, we are shifting as a company from sub to prime. And that means we're going to be gravitating in this new direction. And here's what that means for our company, our finances, our culture, our processes, our relationships. Here's what that means. It needs to be very intentional and deliberate that you're making the shift and that everybody on the team knows, hey, we're growing up. We're putting our big boy, big girl pants on. We're making this shift. And here's what that means for the team. So being intentional and deliberate. The next one is business development. We all know we need sales. But when it comes to making the shift, I've kind of hinted on this about your pipeline. You have got to understand the market better, and you've got to understand how to gather opportunity intelligence better. So you've got to have more conversations with the people that matter, the end users and the decision makers. You've got to be doing more of that, and you've got to have more conversations on a regular basis about things that are in the future. Because when you're doing business development in a prime situation, it's no longer about just keeping the lights on. It's about building the company. It's about going from 1 to 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 to 100 to 1,000 employees. It's long-term business development pipeline thinking where you're putting opportunities in your pipeline that are going to develop over the next 24 to 36 months. And that's a shift in how you think about BD, where and when you're in a small business, you're thinking about, dude, I just want to keep the lights on. I'm thinking the next 30, 90 days in the small business subcontractor realm. But in the prime realm, you're starting to think 24 to 36 months out. And then the last thing that I'll talk about here is business operations. You need key person insurance for your key people. You need to understand if you're shifting and you're growing, how are you going to handle the equity of your company? You know, if you're shifting, you're growing and you're making more money, you need to be looking at shareholder distributions versus W-2 income. Because I don't know if you know this, if you're listening to this and you own an S corp, if all of your money is coming in via W-2, then you're being taxed at a higher rate than you should be. You really are. You should be taking about 30 to 40% of your income as W-2 and the rest of it as shareholder distributions so you can reduce the self-employment tax that you're paying on your income. Those are things you've got to think about as you grow. Does your company need to go into a trust to protect its assets? Things like that. If you're going to grow and give equity to the employees, you need to be thinking about your certifications that you have and making sure you don't impact certifications by giving away too much of the company and things like that. You know, there's a lot of considerations in the back office that you need to be thinking about. Your accounting system, your CRM, your billing systems. There's a lot of systems and software, right? There's hardware. If you are going to much bigger contracts, you know, it's your cybersecurity certifications and things like that, that are back office operations that need to get done. Do you need a server of some sort or something? Maybe you're on a shared SharePoint system for your, you know, intranet, if you will, and now you need a closed off system on your own server. Who knows what it is you need, but there are things like that, office space, vehicles. There's all kinds of things that you have to think of when you're ramping up from sub to prime to get your back office streamlined and able to process this stuff. So we touched on several here. We touched on finances, people, culture, processes, relationships, being intentional and deliberate, business development, and the last one was operations. So hopefully this has given you some things to chew on about how to go from sub to prime. But if you're really struggling with this jump and you need some help, reach out to us. You can reach out at contact@rsmfederal.com, or you can reach out to me directly at M Lejeune. So MLEJEUNE.com at rsmfederal.com. You can reach out to us. And once you reach out to us, just say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. I'm struggling with this transition from sub to prime. I'm struggling with our processes. I'm struggling with our relationships. I'm struggling with our, you know, business development pipeline, whatever it is. And we will sit down with you and give you a free consultation to kind of go over, map out a plan for you. And then if coaching makes sense, we can talk about that with you too. So if you got questions, as always, reach out, whether it's email or LinkedIn, you can reach me there. Super easy. Thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next time.